complete salvation. Our text for this evening is the verse 1. 2 Kings chapter 5, verse 1. Now Naaman, captain of the host of the king of Syria, was a great man, with his master, and honorable, because by him the Lord had given deliverance unto Syria. He was also a mighty man in valor, but he was a leper. One of the best known stories of the Old Testament scriptures is that of the healing of this man Naaman. I'm sure I can safely say that every child that regularly attends Sabbath school has known and been told the story of Naaman and the little maid. Indeed, at the beginning of the Lord's public ministry, the Lord mentioned and spoke about the healing of Naaman. Luke chapter 4, verse 27. And many lepers were in Israel in the time of Eliseus, or Elisha, the prophet. And none of them was cleansed, saving Naaman the Syrian. So is it interesting that the Lord, the beginning of his public ministry there, beginning there in Nazareth, that he mentioned this healing of Naaman of his leprosy. Now you read that chapter after the Lord mentioned the healing of Naaman, you will find that it was a message that was not well received at all by the men of Nazareth. For we read in chapter 4 of Luke, verses 28 and 29, and all they in the synagogue, when they heard these things, were filled with wrath and rose up and thrust him out of the city. They would have killed him there and then. Why such a violent reaction to a story about the deliverance of a man from leprosy? Well, it is similar to the reaction that comes from those today who do not like the doctrine of the sovereignty of God and do not like the doctrine of election. Were there many lepers in Israel in the days of Elisha? No doubt there were. But God, in his sovereign purpose and will, chose to cleanse Naaman, not an Israelite, but a Gentile. The men of Nazareth felt that the Lord had insulted them by telling them this story. Instead of a leprous Israelite being cleansed, a leprous Gentile, a Syrian, was cleansed. When you look at that, that only goes to prove the words of the Apostle Paul. Romans 9, verse 18. Therefore hath he, God, mercy on whom he will have mercy, and whom he will, he hardeneth. He will have mercy on whom he will have mercy. It's according to God's will and purpose. Nothing to do with man. God chose Naaman to be healed of his leprosy. He did not choose an Israelite. He chose a Syrian. He chose a Gentile over an Israelite. And how this unfolds in a wonderful way when we look at what took place regarding Naaman. So let us consider this wonderful event. When God had mercy on Naaman, and by the time, with the Lord's help tonight, when we're finished, we'll see that God granted him a complete salvation. Let us see, first of all, Naaman and his grave problem. We are told a number of things about this man, Naaman, in verse 1. A number of very complimentary things. We're told Naaman was captain of the host of the king of Syria. He was the general, as it were, of the army. We're told he was a great man with his master. We're told that he was honorable because by him the Lord had given deliverance on the Syria. So here we see the Lord had used this man. He was also a mighty man of valor. It would have been all right if the verse ended there, but it doesn't. After reading about all these very complimentary things of Naaman, we have the words, but he was a leper. It's interesting to note that Naaman, the name Naaman, means pleasant. Means pleasant. And as we will see, his parents named him well. Now we may not think of an army general being very pleasant. They have to give orders and things must be done. But here was Naaman. His name means pleasant, and it turns out his parents named him well. He turned out to be a pleasant individual, as we will see. But what verse 1 tells us about Naaman, first of all, tells us about his greatness. His greatness. We see that Naaman had made quite a name for himself in the eyes of Ben-Hadad, the second king of Syria. He was the king's captain, or the king's general, and described as a great man. In many ways, you know, he could be called God's man. Not that he knew God at this time, but he could be called God's man because God used him. We read that in the verse 1. The Lord had given deliverance unto Syria by Naaman. He was also known as a mighty man. He was a man who had everything. He had position. He had power, he had prestige. He was a hero in the eyes of the king and of the Syrians. But we see also he had a problem. He was a leper. And having leprosy, you know what that would have done to Naaman? It would have taken away his position. It would have taken away his power. He would no longer be considered a hero because leprosy takes away everything precious that a man or a woman may have. Leprosy would leave this great man a very lonely individual. We leave him a lost man. Turn with me, please, to Leviticus. Leviticus chapter 13. Here is how Israel treated lepers. Leviticus 13, verse 44. He is a leprous man. He is unclean. In other words, Moses is saying, any man has leprosy, he's unclean. The priest shall pronounce him utterly unclean. His plague is in his head. The leper in whom the plague is, his clothes shall be rent, and his head bare. He shall put a covering upon his upper lip, and shall cry, unclean, unclean. Whenever the leper would be out anywhere, and say, go down the street somewhere, he had to cry, unclean, unclean, and people would avoid him. Some would even go round another way. They wouldn't walk the same street as a leprous man. All the days wherein the plague shall be in him, he shall be defiled. He is unclean. Mark the words. He shall dwell alone, without the camp shall his habitation be. That was the sentence, as it were, passed upon a leper. He shall dwell alone. And those who had leprosy would have to leave home and friends and family and go outside the city. Or here in this case, in Leviticus, or Exodus, outside the camp. And they would dwell alone. And food would be brought to them and left at a particular location. And the leper would come out and take the food and take it in. There would never be any contact. They would dwell alone. Now here we have read about the greatness of Naaman. And yet we're told Naaman was a leper. Not really. Would be the end of this man Naaman. Think of it. We read about his greatness by being the captain of the host of the king. A great man, an honorable man, a mighty man of valor. But if his leprosy was not healed, if he was not cleansed of his leprosy, that would have been the end of Naaman. He would have had to go outside the camp or the city and dwelled alone. No more greatness. No more seen as a mighty man. No more looked upon as a hero. We see his greatness. We see his graciousness. Did we say that his name meant pleasant? But here we see in verse 1, we read that he was honorable. Because by him the Lord had given deliverance unto Syria. He certainly was honored. For the Lord chose this man, Naaman, and used Naaman, to give deliverance to the Syrians. So he was honored in that sense. But the word means something else. This word honorable refers not only to the Lord using him and being honored that way, but the word means gracious. So his name means pleasant. And here we read he was honorable, he was gracious. The word also means to be lifted up. And that's exactly what happened. In the eyes of the king, in the eyes of the people, because of what Naaman had done in giving victory to the Syrians, he was lifted up. He was a hero. He was lifted up because the Lord used him to give victory to Syria. But we see how gracious he was. We don't read of him being full of pride. We don't read of him puffing himself up with all these honors that are recorded for him here in the verse 1. No, he was gracious. He accepted all these honors graciously. So he was a great and he was a gracious man. But everything is spoiled by one word: leper. That spoils everything. Notice there in the verse, at the end of the verse, he was also a mighty man in valor, but he was a leper. Notice three words there are in italics, which tell us in our authorized version they were not in the original. And when you remove, as it were, those three words, it comes home in a more stark reality. It makes it blunt, as it were. He was a mighty man of valor, a leper. That's all he was, a leper. And being a leper, that would have finished Naaman with. And because of his leprosy, his greatness would be but a memory. And if he was to be healed, he needed God to be gracious to him. But he was a Syrian. He didn't even know God. He didn't know the God of Israel. So he's seen his greatness, his graciousness. That brings us to consider his grief. His grief will be seen in that word, leper. Naaman would know what that word would mean to him. He would know what that disease would mean for him. It would mean ruination for him. Just as sin. And throughout Scripture, leprosy is a type of sin, is a picture of sin. And you think of what leprosy does to an individual, and you see it in a spiritual sense, and what it does to a man, to a woman. Sin. Sin, like leprosy, defiles. As we have seen from Leviticus 13, verse 45, the leper, when he went out anywhere, was to cry, unclean, unclean. Sure, that's not what sin is. It's uncleanness, rottenness, it's filthiness. That's what a sinner is. In the eyes of God, they're unclean. Doesn't matter what they think of themselves. Doesn't matter how properly they dress. Doesn't matter what kind of an image they present to their neighbor. They're unclean. Unclean in the eyes of a holy God. Remember the leper, many did of course come to Christ. The leper came to Christ one day. What did he say? If thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. Clean. Because he knew he was unclean. Like the leper. The leper is unclean. The sinner is unclean. Just as sin defiles, is unclean, rending the sinner unclean, needs to be washed, needs to be washed away. And there's only one remedy for uncleanness. It's the blood of Christ. It's the blood of the Lord Jesus. Revelation 1 verse 5, unto him that loved us, listen, and washed us from our sin in his own blood. There it is. not a fairy tale, not something the preacher makes up. It's the Word of God. The Word of God unto him that loved us and washed us from our sin in his own blood. And that's right. Only the blood of Christ has the power to wash the sinner clean and make them clean. Only the power of the blood of Christ can wash away sin and make the sinner clean. Sin defiles. Sin is disfiguring, like leprosy. Leprosy disfigures an individual. Maybe over the years, maybe when you've sat under the witness or the ministry of a missionary, like our dear brother Dr. Bill Woods, who labored for the Lord many years in Brazil. And that's who he dealt with. He dealt with the lepers. Remember years ago seeing some slides presented by Dr. Woods. Showed us a few pictures of those who were in the advanced stages of leprosy. It was terrible. Leprosy eats away the fingers. Distorts, disfigures the face. And so on. That's what sin does. Sin is disfiguring. It is a pitiful sight, as I've said, to see a man in the advanced stages of leprosy. The lovely becomes loathsome. The handsome becomes heinous. And that's how sin may be described in a person's life. Turn, please, to Romans. Romans chapter 3. Here's Paul describing what sin does. Romans chapter 3, verse 13. Verse 13. Their throat, talking about sinners, the unclean. Their throat is an open sepulcher. You think of a sepulcher, you're thinking of death. The throat is an open sepulcher. With their tongues they have used deceit. The poison of asps is under their lips. Whose mouth is full of cursing and bitterness. Boy, don't we know that, all right. I happened to be out somewhere in a company, in the language. Remember one time over in Ulster, I was sitting at a restaurant having a coffee. This young couple came in, set a couple of chairs away from me. Oh, the language! I got up and I rebuked them. So I didn't come here to listen to that language. Young people. In the language. Yes, poison of ass is under their lips, whose mouth is full of cursing and bitterness. Their feet are swift to shed blood. Destruction and misery are in their ways. And the way of peace they have they not known. And there is no fear of God before their eyes. Not right? If only they knew who God is. Not what they do to laugh at God. Said before, they think that he's some old gentleman up there in heaven somewhere. Really can't do anything except whenever you're in trouble. I tell you, those who think that, they're in for a rude awakening one day. A rude awakening. People make light of sin and they make light of who God is. Yes, sin, like leprosy, is defiling. It's disfiguring. It's deadly. Leprosy is deadly as sin is. Naaman would have known that leprosy doomed him to an untimely death in his eyes. He was a leper. He knew what that meant. And all the ways we've already described, sin means death. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. Whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. For the wages of sin is death. The wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Romans 6:23. Life. Yet how many choose death? But they love their sin. There's hardly a man loves his leprosy. And yet that disfiguring disease of sin, men choose sin. Because they want the pleasures of sin for a season. So we have considered then Naaman and his great problem. We see Naaman and God's providence. God's providence. We see what a little Jewish maid, that she was one of the very important links, as it were in the chain, that led to Naaman being healed of leprosy. A little maid. And here we have a wonderful example of God's providence. We have seen from the words of Christ that God in his sovereign purpose and will chose to heal Naaman the Syrian and not a leprous Israelite. And here we see how God fulfilled his sovereign will and purpose in healing Naaman. We notice first of all regarding God's providence, we notice the maid. Of all the people that the Syrians brought away captive out of the land of Israel, they brought a little maid. Verse 2. There's God's providence. They could have brought anybody back. You would have thought, how important would a little maid be? But they brought back a little maid. A little maid who knew Israel's God. And who knew about the prophet of God, Elisha. There's the providence of God. They could have brought anybody back who didn't know God or who didn't know Elisha, the prophet. But in God's providence, they brought back this little maid. No, it wasn't luck. It wasn't coincidence. It wasn't chance. It was providence. God's providence. And his purpose was to heal Naaman of his leprosy. And God needed someone to show him the way. Remember from the words of the Lord Jesus over there in Luke, God had chosen to heal Naaman, a Syrian, not an Israelite. He had chosen to heal Naaman. But Naaman needed to be told about God. and about the way of being healed from his leprosy. And so God brought a little maid, or the Syrians brought a little maid, but they did so according to the purpose of God. Boy, isn't it wonderful to believe in the God of heaven who is sovereign over all things, knows the end from the beginning, is able to work all things out to his honor, his praise, and his glory. So providentially, God placed this little maid in the path or in the way of Naaman. You know, God is doing that all the time. God will often place a Christian in the way of a sinner. Maybe in the workplace. And that Christian will begin to witness to somebody in the workplace. That Christian could be anywhere else, but they're there in that workplace to speak to some individual, and through that witness that individual's got saved. It's happened time and time again. God's providence. Remember reading about a man, I think he was in Alaska. He felt very down. They went out this day to walk along a river with the intention of taking his life. And as he walked along the river, he had his head down and he was looking down. And there ahead of them there was a piece of paper. Lifted it up, and it was a gospel tract that somebody had discarded. He picked that gospel tract up and he started to read it. As a result of that gospel tract, that man who was contemplating suicide was saved. Give his heart to Christ. That's the providence of God. I remember my grandfather over in Belfast. He attended the Salvation Army. And something similar happened. This man was going out this night. He attended to take his own life in the River Lagan. And as he walked along the street this night in Belfast, he walked past the Salvation Army Citadel. You can hardly believe what the congregation were singing. As he walked past the open door of the Salvation Army's Citadel, they were singing a Port Hope hymn. What a friend we have in Jesus. All our sins and griefs to bear. And what a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer. That man with suicide on his mind entered that Salvation Army Citadel. He sat down on the back row. And when the meeting was over, he was led to Christ. What is that? That's the providence of God. You couldn't arrange that yourself, but God arranges it. There was that track lying on the ground in the path of a man who was going to commit suicide. There was a man on his way through the city of Belfast to commit suicide, do the same thing in the River Lagan, and he walks past the church, Salvation Army Citadel, and at that time they were singing, "What a friend we have in Jesus. All our sins and griefs to bear." Oh, is the providence of God a wonderful thing? As well as the maid, we see the message. Now, when the little maid learned about Naaman's problem, she had a message for him. Verse 3. And she said unto her mistress, "Would God my Lord were with the prophet that is in Samaria, for he would recover him of his leprosy." So she knew Elisha. She knew he was a servant of God. She knew that if he was with Elisha, he would be healed. That's what she says. He would recover him of his leprosy. That was the message. She had a message. That was good news. That was good news for Naaman, wasn't it? But when did I notice something? She didn't keep the good news to herself. She had good news. It was good news for a leprous man. It was good news about a man. A man of God. Who under God could heal him of his leprosy. Listen, believer, we have got good news. We have the best news that the ears of man have ever heard. We can tell sinners about a man. The man Christ Jesus. We can tell them about a God man. The Lord Jesus Christ, who's able to save. We can tell them, just as this little name said that Naaman went to this man of God, he would be healed. Well, we can tell sinners, if you come to Christ and receive him as your Savior, you'll be saved. Confess your sin, you'll be saved. We can tell them that. We can tell them there's no doubt about it. We know. Every believer can say, well, I was there when it happened, so I ought to know. The Christ is able to see. The prophet that is in Samaria, and his nice little maid had a message to give to Naaman, believer. We have a message to give to sinners. Those who are dying from the leprosy of sin. We have a good news message for them. That's what the gospel is. What gospel means? Good news, glad tidings. And when we meet the Naamans of this day, we can tell them about Christ. Tell them, listen, we can tell them, he is able to save to the uttermost all that come unto God by him. The uttermost. That's a life-changing message. Turned out it was a life-changing message for them. And it came from the lips of a little maid. So we noticed the maid. Notice the message. But then the mistake. Here's a mistake. Look there in verse 5. And the king of Syria said, Go. And I will send a letter unto the king of Israel. And he departed. And took with him 10 talents of silver, 6,000 pieces of gold, and 10 changes of raiment, and brought the letter to the king of Israel, saying, Now when this letter is come unto thee, behold, I have therewith sent Naaman, my servant, to thee, that thou mayest recover him of his leprosy. There was the mistake. He went the wrong person. The king went to the wrong person. A couple of things there that happen all the time. But said, went to the king, he went to the wrong person. People do that all the time. But they're talking about salvation, they will often go to the wrong person. What I mean is, go around the doors, talk to people, asked about the sale. Well, they got the usual, well, God, I hope so. Will you be in heaven? Well, I hope so. Well, you know, you need to be safe. Well, my minister told me. I hear it all the time. My minister told me that I was good enough. My minister told me, because I give well into the church, God will accept me. Minister can't do a thing for a sinner. And a minister that tells anybody that, he's dishonest. He's not telling the truth. In all probability, he doesn't know the truth himself anyway. That minister is ignorant and untruthful. He's ignorant of the truth. Listen, neither is there salvation in any other. For there is none other name under heaven given amongst men whereby we must be saved. It's not the name of a minister, it's the name of Christ. He's the only one. What else did the king do? Why, he sent him 10 talents of silver, 6,000 pieces of gold, 10 changes of raiment. The little maid didn't mention anything about gold or silver or raiment. She just said gold. That tells us something else. And then they think they can buy their way into heaven, depending on what they give. But sure, haven't we already learned? We are redeemed. Not with corruptible things such as silver and gold, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish, without spot. 1 Peter 1:18, 19. That's the answer. Not silver and gold. And when Naaman, they went straight to Elisha, he wouldn't have needed all those sacks of gold and all those sacks of silver and all the chains of raiment. He could have gone empty handed. And he would have been healed of his lepers. That's the way sinners ought to go to Christ, empty handed. Ho, everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters, and he that hath but no money, come ye, buy and eat. Yea, come, buy wine and milk, without money, without price. Isaiah 55, verse 1. What do we sing there tonight? Hark, sinner, hark, your tidings so true. Tidings of pardon and blessings for you. God in his word says that Christ on the tree died for guilty sinners, and salvation is free. 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 Isn't it interesting, the business of this day and this world? You try to get your business and they say, such and such is free. Of course, that catches the customer's eye. Oh, will you have something free? And yet tell them that salvation is free, and they're not interested. It is free. Without money, without price. Christ paid the price. His blood is more precious than silver and gold. So we have Naaman and his great problem, Naaman and his great providence, and God's providence rather, Naaman and the good prophet. The good prophet, of course, was Elisha. And when he heard about the plight of Naaman, he had a message for him. Look at verse 9. So Naaman came with his horses and his chariot and stood at the door of the house of Elisha. And Elisha sent a messenger unto him, saying, go wash in Jordan 7 times. Thy flesh shall come again to thee, and thou shalt be clean. In that verse 9, we see first of all his call. What did Elisha say? He extended an invitation to Naaman. He said, let him come now to me. Let him come to me. How often have sinners been given that call? How often have they heard the Savior utter the words, come? A number of years ago we did a study in the number of times the Lord said, come. Come unto me, all ye that labour and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Come. That's what Elisha said. Come now unto me. Just as Christ said. Remember what the Lord said to Zacchaeus? The Lord said, make haste and come down, for today I must abide at thy house. Come. That's what Elisha said to him. Come now unto me. Now. Not tomorrow, not next week. Come now. So there was the call. There is the command. The remedy for Naaman's problem was very simple. According to the command of Elisha. Verse 10, Elisha sent a messenger unto him, saying, go wash in Jordan 7 times, and thy flesh shall come again to thee, and thou shalt be clean. Well, look at Naaman. But Naaman was wroth, and went away and said, behold, I thought he will surely come out to me and stand and call on the name of the Lord his God, and strike his hand over the place and recover the leper. There's a word there that has caused many a soul to perish in hell. One word. It's the word thought. Naaman said, I thought. He had been given the truth. He had been told what to do. Go and wash 7 times in Jordan. But Naaman said, I thought. There were other rivers, as far as he was concerned, were better than Jordan. I thought. And that word, or those two words, I thought, oh, how many souls have perished because they built for eternity based on what they thought. Based on what they thought. The matter is too serious. They're dealing with eternal things. The matter is too serious to build for eternity on thought. It's truth you want. It's the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. And Elisha had given Naaman the truth. That was the truth. Go and wash 7 times in Jordan. You have the call, you have the command, and you have the cleansing. Verse 14 and 15 then. When he died and dipped himself 7 times in Jordan, according to the saying of the man of God, and his flesh came again like unto the flesh of a little child, and he was clean, and he returned to the man of God, he and all his company, and came and stood before him, and he said, behold, now I know that there is no God in all the earth but in Israel. Now he knows God. He didn't know the God of Israel before, but he knows it now. Oh, there's so much we could say about those two verses. He went and he dipped in Jordan 7 times, as he was told. And he came back, and lo and behold, his skin was like the skin of a little child. You know what that's like? And it's the skin of a newborn child, just so smooth, it's like velvet. Well, you look here at Naaman, and I'm sure as he felt his skin, he felt as if, you know, I've been born again. Not what sinners need. They need to be born again. Need to be born again. And he came to know the God of Israel. When someone obeys the command of God regarding salvation, they come to know the God of Israel. They come to know the God of heaven through the blood of God's Son, Jesus Christ. We ought not to miss the fact that he washed in Jordan 7 times. We all know what the number seven is in Scripture. It's the number of perfection. It is the number of completeness. It's just like salvation. He washed in Jordan 7 times and he came and his skin was like the skin of a child. He had been completely healed of his leprosy. He didn't need to do anything else. It was done. Completely done. It was a complete salvation, if you like. Completely cleansed. When we have salvation, we don't need to add anything to it. We don't need to help God out, as it were, saving our soul. It's a complete salvation. Start to finish. So you saw this morning, the Lord cried from Calvary, "It is finished. It's complete. Nothing more to be done." Complete salvation. And Naaman experienced it that day. He was healed of his leprosy. Completely healed. Victory for him. The complete salvation that Christ was able to give. And the Lord bless his word to our hearts. Let's bow in prayer. Oh, our dear Lord, we bless thee for the message of salvation. Thank you, Lord, for another view of our wonderful Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Thank you for the one who is our Savior, the only Savior, the only Savior. Salvation is only found. The Lord Jesus Christ, who said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man cometh unto the Father but by me." No other way. No other life. And it is the truth. Lord, I pray thou would use this word tonight. Speak to hearts. May even someone somewhere come just as they are to the Lord Jesus. Be cleansed from their leprosy of sin. So Lord, write thy word upon our hearts. Be with us now as we leave the house of God. Keep thy hand upon us. Give us all traveling mercy and those of a little further to go. Keep thy hand upon us during this week. Keep us healthy and well. Bless us. And may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be your abiding portion now, and until the day breaks, and the shadows all flee away. Amen.